May it please the Court, my name is Mary Spashotti and I represent the petitioner Gary Laguerre. We're here today because Mr. Laguerre has once again come before this Court presenting a different issue for this Court's consideration. He has had a long history of being involved in immigration proceedings going back to the beginning of the 1996 corrections to the Immigration Act and the question of whether his previous conviction would have qualified him for any relief under Section 212C. He went back to the immigration courts because the Supreme Court in St. Cyr stated that he did, in fact, have the right to 212C relief. In the interim, he was convicted of a second offense of domestic battery, which resulted in the imposition of a 3-year sentence of incarceration. The government came back into the case, presenting this fact to the immigration court and asserted that it was an aggravated felony pursuant to Section 101A43F. His conviction, which was under Section 720 Illinois Statutes 5/12-3.2, was for the crime of aggravated battery, which, like simple battery, has the elements of the commission of bodily injury by any means without lawful justification to a family member.
Ms. Sasha, it doesn't make any difference that this is Laguerre's second conviction for domestic battery.
It shouldn't make any difference because the Illinois statute says that a second conviction raises the misdemeanor violation to a felony, but it doesn't change the elements of the offense at all. In other words, if he had been previously convicted of simple domestic battery, as I like to call it, not to diminish it at all, for the second time, it wouldn't make a difference whether he used bodily harm, used physical violence, or acted without legal justification.
May I pop in for a minute? Under the federal law, any crime for which he may be sentenced to the penitentiary for a year or more is considered a felony.
Correct.
Under state of Illinois law, you can have what we used to gigglingly call bastard misdemeanors. That is one where you could go to jail for less than a year or to the penitentiary, reckless homicide being one, this being another. But we use the federal definition of a felony for purposes of discussing felony or cases involving the federal government, don't we? Not the state.
No, we don't. But we also take a look.
No, wait. We don't what?
We use the federal definition.
That's right. So the federal definition would make this a felony in any event.
Well, but if you're trying to figure out whether it comes as a crime of violence under the Taylor definition, you have to go back and look at the elements of the statute.
The elements of the statute include, in order to go to the penitentiary, you're going to have to commit some crime that's going to cause some bodily harm of some serious nature.
If that were the case, then the Illinois domestic battery statute would have been a felony on the first conviction.
Well,
because
yes
it's a degree.
No. Because under the statute, you can go to the jail for less than a year, which makes it a misdemeanor under Illinois law, but a felony under federal law.
Yes, but again, the elements of the substantive statute have not changed. If we were talking about an aggravated felony situation that would be aggravated domestic battery, then we would have a better opinion on whether or not the statute falls within the definition of a crime of violence as it is set forth in Section 101F. In fact, I can conceive of a situation where a husband maybe whacked his wife pretty well on the first round and got sentenced as a misdemeanant. On the second round, he didn't whack her nearly as well. Perhaps he shut the door in her face, but not necessarily with intending to do some serious harm. The fact that he had a previous conviction puts him into the felony category under Illinois law. And yes, we do use the federal guidelines as distinguishing between a misdemeanor and a felony. But that only ends the controversy here because the Board of Immigration Appeals did decide this case under Section 16B, 18 U.S.C., that requires specifically the existence of a felony conviction to constitute a crime of violence. Rather, the board went in and used Section 16A and decided whether the elements of the offense necessarily included inherent violence. And it did. Its analysis was the same as it has repeatedly used. If there is bodily harm, then it is a crime of violence, forgetting for the moment that the Illinois statute says by any means causes bodily harm. By any means does not necessarily denote the use of physical force. By any means doesn't mean means any means. It could be harmful conduct. It could be violent conduct. It could be inadvertent conduct that causes bodily harm. Bodily harm.
Inadvertent conduct, however, would not be a crime.
Pardon me?
Inadvertent conduct is not a crime.
Sure. In cases of marital discord, somebody will just out of frustration throw something on the floor, a dish, just out of frustration.
You don't get charged for that, domestic violence for that.
But you will be taken in and charged with domestic violence.
Well, you'd be taken in and told to get home and quit breaking the dishes is pretty much what will happen.
Well, perhaps the dish analogy. But too many pleas of guilties are entered in these types of cases. But if a shard of that dish causes the wife some bodily harm,
That's possible.
It's possible to consider that a crime of violence. Congress, I don't think, really felt that the crime of domestic violence in most state statutes falls within the category of an aggravated felony that would cut off any and all rights to some type of relief, because it has created a separate removable statute under Section 237A2E. And that deals with a whole panoply of crimes of domestic violence, including stalking, because Congress, I don't think, wanted to duplicate itself. Congress said, I don't believe that certain domestic violence crimes will ever fit the crime of aggravated felony for purposes of Section 101A42F. So we're going to deal with this in a separate provision of the Immigration Act. And because I believe that Congress didn't think that all of these types of cases fell under the nomenclature of a crime of violence, I don't believe that the government was justified in relying on the aggravated felony definition to preclude any and all judicial relief for this particular petition. The other failing that I attribute to the board is the way it went about deciding whether this is a statute that inherently involves the use of physical force. What holds me down to the sense that the board didn't really look at the statute is the sense that any means can mean anything. There is, in the scheme of Illinois statutes, other types of domestic violence crimes and physical crimes to person that, by any stretch of the imagination, if compared to the Illinois statute at issue here, denotes a far greater use of force and violence than what we have in this case. For example, there is aggravated battery, which raises the bodily injury to permanent disfigurement or disability. There's the aggravated domestic battery statute that does likewise and eliminates the clause by any means. There's heinous battery by use of certain instrumentalities in the Illinois statutes. There's aggravated batteries to senior citizens, such as myself, that would enable the...
Oh, come, you're making me feel very old.
You're probably younger than I am right now.
Not to speak of what you're doing to me, Ms. Fasciata.
The issue is serious bodily harm. And I would presume that serious bodily harm in that situation is a lot easier to cause by an instrumentality of less than the use of a fist.
You've eaten up your rebuttal time, you know.
I'm sorry. Should I stop? I'll go on because I want to finish
this. Master of your own fate or mistress of your own fate.
The government's evidence did not establish that this crime was an aggravated felony. The fault of the board was that it relied on the complaint, which had a factual allegation that necessarily probably was not the same allegation that resulted in conviction. It relied on the statement of conviction as produced by the Circuit Court of Cook County, which I have always indicated is a rather faulty summary of what happened in a criminal case. But I want to leave the court with this notion. The fact of conviction is not necessarily proof of the kind of elements that inherent in a conviction, and that's what the Taylor Court emphasized very strongly. The statute does not prescribe a full range of conduct that one would consider to be an aggravated felony by the inherent use of force. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Vanessa LaFour on behalf of the respondent, the Attorney General. Your Honors, the main issue here, whether or not petitioner's domestic battery conviction under Illinois law is a crime of violence, has already been decided by this Court. In Upton and in Alvarenga Silva, this Court has decided that this particular state statute is indeed a crime of violence under statutes that are parallel to 18 U.S.C. 16A, which is what the Board relied upon in reaching its decision.
Ms. LaPorte, I was actually on the Upton panel. And I must say, looking back at it after I took a look at our decisions in Flores and Sliss-Toldy, I really realized that what we did was we declared that Upton's convictions for domestic battery were violent felonies without citing any case law and without considering Flores and Sliss-Toldy. As such, we really did not address the matter.
Your Honor, respectfully, I disagree. What happened in Upton is that this court decided that the domestic battery conviction is, quote, a violent felony under the Armed Career Criminal Act, which defines violent felony in the same way that 16A defines crime of violence. That is to say, an offense that has as an element the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against the person or property of another. And this court in Upton decided that violent felony, that this particular state statute is a violent felony under the Armed Career Criminal Act, and that statute is parallel to that of 16A, which is present here in this case before us. Secondly, this court in Alvarenga Silva decided that this particular state statute is a crime of violence for sentencing purposes, which under the federal guidelines, federal sentencing guidelines define crime of violence in the same manner that 16A does.
Immigration judge distinguished this case from Flores, didn't
he? Right.
Correct, Your Honor. The immigration did do that. Judge did do that because she determined that in Flores, the statute there only required the intent to touch and not the intent to injure, which is what we have in this case. The particular state statute here requires that the state prove that the petitioner, or rather the defendant, intentionally or knowingly without legal justification by any means causes bodily harm to a family member. What the board did here, however, is it went beyond doing the categorical approach and did a modified categorical approach and looked to the record of conviction. And I think the reason the board did that is because it was trying to follow this court's precedent in Flores, because in Flores this court required that in order for a crime to be a crime of violence, there must be a showing of the use of violent force. And I think the board really focused on that language, the use of violent force. And in order to do that, the board looked at the record of conviction and determined that, in fact, there was violent force used. This court in Flores defined violent force, or rather said that a punch is equivalent to the use of force. And this is what we had in this case here, that the petitioner, in fact, punched the family member that was brought this issue against him.
What support do you have for your position that we can ignore the rule that says we must look only at the elements of the crime for which the petitioner was convicted and not the underlying conduct?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I'm not following.
You seem to say that we can ignore the rule that we have to look only at the elements of the crime for which the petitioner was convicted, but not look at
the underlying facts.
Yeah, the underlying facts.
What the board did here is it applied the modified categorical approach because it decided that the statute was divisible. I don't think that there's a hard and fast rule that you must look, you can apply categorical or modified categorical. I think that depends on a case-by-case basis, what the statute is before the board at that time. That's what determines what sort of approach it will take. And here, it decided that the statute was divisible, and therefore that it would look to the facts of the conviction or look to the record of conviction, which is what it did. And I believe it did so because it was specifically trying to follow this court's precedent in Flores to make sure that the force that was used in this case was, in fact, violent force rather than some other type of force, which is what happened in Flores. In other words, it didn't want to follow the court's precedent in Flores, and it wanted to make sure that the force that was used wasn't some sort of, as counsel stated, throwing of the dishes or something like that, that it was, in fact, something violent. So whether you apply the categorical approach or the modified categorical, it is a crime of violence. This court in Upton decided that it was a crime of violence or a violent felony, which is defined similarly. And in Alvarenga Silva, for sentencing purposes, it is a crime of violence.
See, to me, the recidivist aspect of the conviction is, I would say, a bit of a red herring. The fact that a second conviction turns a domestic battery from a misdemeanor into a felony in Illinois doesn't seem to me to have any bearing on whether it's a deportable offense under the federal statute, because under federal law, what matters is not what label the state gives a conviction, misdemeanor or felony, but rather whether the elements of the state crime qualify as a crime of violence under 18 U.S.C. 16A. And since the element of force is completely missing from the Illinois statute, I know it's counterintuitive. I know it is. But since it is missing, and that's what he was convicted under, it just cannot qualify as a crime of violence under Section 16A.
Your Honor, I disagree. I believe that the element of force is present in the Illinois statute, which is what the Alvarenga Silva court held, as well as this court in Upton. I know you're disagreeing with the Upton decision, which is sort of
it's horrible here, when you have to look back at what you've done.
Right. But if you look closely at the Illinois statute, it requires the intentional or knowing without legal justification by any means causing of bodily harm. So whether you're unhappy with the fact that you don't feel that it's categorically a crime of violence, you have the board's decision here, which looked to the underlying facts and found that there was violent force used per Flores, and therefore that this is a crime of violence. In any case, beyond that, petitioner is still deportable for his prior drug convictions. Which is what happened back in 1995, or rather maybe after that. But he's deportable on those bases, so he's still a deportable alien in this case. He conceded that he was deportable under those two prior convictions. The only other form of relief that he had, or that he applied for, rather, was an application for relief under the Convention Against Torture. And because he's a deportable alien for the drug convictions, and whether this court determines he's deportable under the domestic battery, its jurisdiction is limited to questions of law or constitutional claims with respect to his CAT claim. And in that regard, he's failed to raise either a question of law or a constitutional claim regarding his CAT claim. So his case is foreclosed on those bases for that form of relief. Therefore, in conclusion, Your Honors, we respectfully request that this court deny and dismiss the petition for review for the reasons stated. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
I think your time has expired, but give you a minute or two to...
One misconception. The judge pretermitted his application for Section 212C relief by virtue of the second conviction for an aggravated felony. And if this were considered a crime involving moral turpitude, he would still be eligible for 212C relief, and that is the other consequence of having this conviction considered to be an aggravated felony. In fact, if he had had this, if he had been charged under the domestic violence provision in the Immigration Act, he still probably would have been able to qualify for Section 212C relief because he didn't have an aggravated felony conviction. That would be my view of what his eligibility is required. So I wanted to clarify that. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.